and you break the whites into a little interim bowl.
Into the soup, the most fun you'll have in your kitchen with your clothes on. It's about jumping in, getting your hands dirty, and getting off of the recipe page. We take a bite out of life and we live in the now. Blazing trails, meeting characters, sharing stories, and making things happen. So open your ears and close your mouth, and let's get into the soup with Heidi Lee.
Hey there, boys and girls. This is Heidi Lee, and you are into the soup right here on KWSS 93.9. I want to say a big uber thanks to Arizona Culinary Institute for their uber support. We wouldn't be here without them, and that's pretty damn cool. So, unfortunately, my rockin' radio redhead, Annalie King, has a nasty case of that flu that seems to, like, it adhered itself to Arizona this year. I don't think anybody's gone without being sick. I know I didn't, but the whole month of December was like, bleh. So, I want to say thank you, big thank you to Brandy for coming in and running the board, and also to my lovely, lovely friend, Christina Barrueta, right on Ruby. I called her last night, and I'm like, dude, can you help me out here? Hello.
Hello, and if you didn't have to twist my arm, would you like to go to the second story, look at Bartwell? Yes, I would.
And this is where we are, ensconced in these leather chairs, and we've got soup and like eight different cocktails and wine. A couple of cute dudes we're going to interview later. Doesn't suck, no.
I can do this all.
I know, she's just like, well, I don't even have a car. And I'm like, how can I pick you up? You live like 10 minutes from me.
I know, very convenient.
I know, isn't that nice? So, big word on everybody's mind is devoured.
Yeah, what another wonderful weekend of devour. I only made Sunday. I had a judge of salsa competition on Saturday, which was pretty fantastic.
Oh, that's right. My Nana's Salsa, right?
Yes. It was my first time there, and I'll tell you, it was a great event. It benefits the Arizona Hemophilia Society.
Oh, wow.
And I don't think
I've ever seen a food event benefiting a Hemophilia Society. That's kind of cool.
Yeah, it's actually their biggest fundraiser. I think 20,000 people come a year.
20,000 to eat salsa?
To eat salsa, and you're also voting on a margarita competition and trying different salsas. And it's great because it's at the Indian River Steel Park, which is a huge venue, so there's crowding. There's
oh, that's great. So people can move around.
Picnic tables. It's a great event, and I will go every year.
So who won?
I don't know. I had an email in for that, but haven't heard yet.
Oh, okay. So they haven't tallied all the votes?
I'm not sure.
No? How do you really go about judging salsa? Because it's just like judging homemade spaghetti sauce.
Well, it's nice because they let you be subjective, but they have about 50 different judges.
Okay. 50?
So, yeah, about 50 judges because there's about 80 to 100 salsa submissions.
Wow.
And we, I had the hottest salsa table, which had 17.
Hottest as in hottest, most volume, or hottest?
Okay.
Did you have a palate left?
I did, actually. I was surprised because a couple of people there were sweating with the red juice. Oh, I'm doing pretty good. But I also had some great fellow judges, Chef Keenan of Pig and Pickle.
Nice.
Judging that table, Jacob Cucino of Homeboy Hot Sauces.
He's so nice.
Yes, and his stuff is amazing. And then we also had Stephen Jones.
Oh, cool.
So
he has the best radio voice.
Yes,
he really does. Hello, hello, hello. I was like, wow, where'd you come from? When he was on with the other guys from the Seven Chefs.
Yeah.
We're going to talk to Dominic Armato a little bit about that. He's here with us today, as is Nick Rustica-Licker. If you don't know who Dominic is, we'll make sure that you do. I can't. Wow, man. When did you do 128 dishes total?
In our days.
In
that
way,
his first devour. Yeah, so he went in, and he went in hard and heavy.
I wonder if he took lessons from that dude, that man versus food.
Dom versus food.
Is it Dom
a whole
versus
new
food
category?
It was so funny because we did the show live from Devour on Saturday, and we got all of our tech set up and all that kind of stuff. And I'm like, okay, I've got 45 minutes to go play. So I walk out the door of the Great Hall, and the first person I see that I know is Dom, and I don't really know him. We've never met in person. And I walked up and I said, I'd really like to meet you. And he's like, I'm Dominic Armato, and I'm like, I'm Heidi Lee. And he goes, oh yeah, cool. And I was just like, this guy's totally into a job, so I'm just going to wander away. And the next person I ran into was Rick Phillips.
And we didn't have a full show because people were just a little bit nervous about leaving their booths. So as far as guests go, so I said, Rick, dude, do you want to come on and play with me in like the last segment?
Sure.
And he said yes, and he brought me an entire fifth of apple pie moonshine.
This is why we love Rick. Not just because he's like, it's just fantastic.
And I had to hide it from the scary guys in blue that were all in their tasers.
You're going to have to pour this
they're always looking. It has nothing to do with
I bet that girl's drinking legally. What's going on?
I'm really excited to be here. And actually, the person who turned me on to Mick was Dominic when I read his review of Second Story Liquor. It was glowing. It was wonderful. And I'm just like, wow, this sounds like a pretty amazing person. And so I reached out to Dom and said, would you like to be on the show? Even though we'd not met. And he was very enthusiastic and said yes. And I said, well, we'll figure it out. Who do you want to play with? And so then a couple of weeks later, I came up here and met Mick and asked if he'd want to play. And so I thought, wow, this would be kind of cool. So I asked both if they were okay with being together on the show. And I got a resounding yes. And so we made it happen, and here we are.
Now you have this winning duo.
I know. I'm so looking forward to this. It's going to be a lot of fun.
Me too.
Okay, cool. All right, we're going to take a quick break, and we'll be right back with Dominic Armato and Nick Rosigas. Christine Barrett, thank you so much.
Thank you.
Woohoo! And Super Heidi Lee. Don't touch that dial.
Confessions of a Potentially Perfect Parent, brought to you by AdoptUsKids.org.
I might look like an adult, like a person who could possibly be a parent, but I have no idea how to talk like one. And everyone knows that if you want to be a parent, you have to sound good when you say things like, don't make me turn this car around, or because I said so, or don't make me come back there. I don't even really know what those things mean, but I know that I actually believed my parents when they said them to me. How did they manage to sound so convincing? Here we go. Don't make me come back there. Ugh, no, that's not tough enough at all. Kids can sense weakness. Don't make me come back there. Ooh, yeah, that's better. In fact, that kind of sounded like my dad. Weird.
You don't have to be perfect to be a perfect parent. There are thousands of teens in foster care who would love to listen to you practice your dad voice. Call 1-888-200-4005 or visit AdoptUsKids.org for more information. This message brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, Adopt Us Kids, and the Ad Council.
With my lovely wing girl. Do you want to be a wing girl or a co-host? Which would you prefer?
Either or.
Okay. Wing girl co-host it is. Christina Barrueta up right on Ruby. We're just tucked away at the Second Story Liquor, and it's actually really kind of hot. Not hot to the... It's hot atmosphere. Yeah, this is cool. I've never actually been up here at night. They've got the lights all down and chandeliers and exposed beams and it's really, and soup and cocktails. And so thank you, Chef Nick.
Thank you so much.
You're
thank
welcome.
You for coming up here.
Oh, we're very happy to be here. And also Dominic Hermano from Arizona Republic.
Howdy ho.
Howdy ho. Did you say howdy ho? I actually haven't heard that for a long time. That was more fun than usually. do you prefer to be called food critic, journalist? What's
my official title now is dining critic, although I'm still trying to get used to that.
Dining critic?
That is my official title, dining critic.
Oh.
In AZCentral.com.
And you've been in this lovely new position since like September of last year, right?
I started in May.
In May.
They were sort of a quiet start. They wanted to give me a little time to get ready since I came from the wilds of the internet. I was blogging for many years. So
right.
Give me a little time to adjust to.
Had you had a presence at AZ Republic before you became?
No, not at all. No. That was and I didn't even. This was not part of the plan.
That's what makes it most fun. If it's part of a plan,
I know it'd be too easy, right? No. It just sort of the opportunity popped up and it felt right and we both the more we talked about it, the more it seemed like it's probably just the right fit. So
we being you and
myself,
because
originally when we started getting around the power and stuff, people were asking me, so you're going to apply for a job, and I'm like, kept my comfortable little corner of the internet where I do my own little thing.
Oh yeah, but you got to break out of that comfort zone. It makes life worse.
But
you're way cuter than Howie, by the way. But
I don't know.
I'm kidding. No, he was hot too.
Looking man that hard. In fact, I'm kind of bummed. I mean, his departure allowed me to step in there, but at the same time, I'm sad that he's going. gone, because a little bit that I got to hang out with him before he took out, he's a cool guy.
Did he just like flee? Nobody knows where he is.
No, he went off to France.
Fan.
Yeah,
okay. He's traveling to different
parts. My own heart.
Baseball. I know, because I met him at Devour, and he's been to Fenway Park. He's big into baseball.
I didn't realize.
Yeah,
that.
I didn't either. Which is one good thing about him retiring is getting to spend time talking to him and getting to know him.
Yeah.
He's a great guy.
So was he at the Devour this weekend then? Or?
Oh no, I'm sorry. Food and Wine.
Food and Wine
experiences were right. Like that.
Well, let's say hello to Nick from Second Story Liquor Bar. Hi.
How are you doing?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm doing well. I'm doing well. So the little warmth that you're feeling right now is the way that every restaurant gets as soon as Dominic walks in.
Oh.
You're feeling like me.
I hope to God he doesn't dine and critique me.
Your inspires entirely unintentional.
It's just how it goes.
And that's actually a very interesting point, because you are not incognito. You have a beard, so you can't really just put one of those fake ones on.
Yeah.
And that's a big change. I mean, I think it would be nay impossible to actually be incognito in this world anymore.
I agree totally with that. I respect critics who are still trying to uphold that tradition.
Yes.
I think it's very hard, and kudos to them, but I think it's almost unattainable in this day.
I agree. It's not. I agree that there is sort of the platonic ideal, you know, if it were possible to really truly remain anonymous, I think that'd be great. But I just think in today's day and age, I think it's just impossible. It's smartphones and the way information gets around and how, you know, chefs all know each other, and you know, somebody snaps one smartphone photo and, you know, next thing half the town's got your photo. And it's just, so rather than trying to fight that, it was like, okay, let's just acknowledge that this is the reality of the situation and let's work with that as best we can.
And working with that as best you can still requires you to be honest.
Oh, absolutely.
I would think that would be kind of scary because, you've done some out there that are like, whoa, yikes, I'm glad I wasn't there.
Well,
and then others too, so I was going to say it takes a lot of balls, but it kind of does.
Well, it's more sense of responsibility than anything else.
Cool.
I mean, you
okay.
know, when we're talking about, you know, non-review pieces, I mean, first of all, I've never taken it up, obviously, but when we're talking about non-review pieces, I mean, you know, I want to get people excited and I want this to be about community and about the restaurant scene and about helping it to develop and grow, and I love all that. But then, you know, when it's time to write a review, you know, in some ways it's almost a little bit of a different hat. It's like, look, all right, I got to just shoot straight, and if it is good, it is good. If it's great, it's great. But I owe it to the readers to give them a straight up assessment. And
I think you owe it to the restaurant as well.
Well, that's true.
I do. I mean, you've got to be able to take that kind of criticism for someone that has such a wonderful palate that you do in the experience, and it's like, this just comes with it, and, you know, it can either make you better. I would assume that doesn't make people crumble. Actually, that's a question that I do have for you. So, the review that you gave Nick.
Yes.
Woohoo! So the doors flew open, people started streaming in.
Yeah.
Does it have, on the other side of that pendulum, the same effect if you write a review that is not at all glowing?
No, I don't know.
I don't either.
I don't know yet. And almost more importantly, I can't think about that. You know what I mean? Because while I am curious about it, you know, that can't figure into it. Because if I start thinking to myself, you know, oh, what is this going to do if I write something really nice, or what is this going to do if I write, then I'm starting to, you know, now I'm changing what I'm writing about, and that's not okay. I mean, it has to just be straightforward and honest, and then, you know, the chips fall where they do.
Right.
You know, so as curious as I am, you know, I don't know that I've been doing this long enough that we have a large enough sample size to draw any, you know, terribly reliable.
Right.
I can't think about that. You know,
okay. And if you notice on some of John's articles, he'll go back again.
I did, yeah, recently.
Like you did, but the Yacht Club.
Yeah, to the Yacht Club, drop back in.
And
which I think is really nice.
Nick, how long have you been here before you were reviewed by Dominic?
Oh, man, I think I was here for 4 months before Dominic came in. So very, very short time.
And did you know that he was in your dining room and you were aware of this when he was...
We did know after he'd sat down. A couple of our employees recognized him. So we got the heads up, but it was an unexpected Friday evening. It's the perfect time, though, you know. So the true colors.
You jam it. I mean, that makes such a difference.
Absolutely.
It's a slow Wednesday, honestly. The food you put out, because I've been on the line before myself. The food you put out can be, but not as top notch because you're not going 800 miles an hour, just cranking it. You're thinking about it. You're freaking out over your dish when it's just like, I've made this 100 times. Let's put it out the door.
Absolutely.
Yeah. And so you guys, well, you scored. I mean, you hit it out of the park with this gentleman.
Absolutely.
And you know, it's just congratulations. That's great. And
thank you so much.
Just knocking me out of my chair.
Thank you.
So we'll talk about it later, but
go ahead. I was just saying, it's one of those things, you know, you can talk about, oh, Dominic's coming, but you really can't prepare yourself for that moment. It's just a matter of, guys, let's take a deep breath. We do this on a regular basis. This is, your heart's in this, your life is in this, you know. It comes out of my mouth sounding like such an incredibly huge thing, because it really, you know, it's just one of those things that it means a lot to have someone come in and really write a respectable review. It's pretty incredible for a couple young guys who
absolutely.
Really,
you're what, 23, right?
Absolutely, yep.
What do you think of that?
It's impressive is what it is. I mean, it's one of those things where it's sort of like, I wrote that review, and then one of the persons I think to myself is like, okay, dude, now, you know, stay cool here, right? Yeah. Stay focused, you know, you got a great start here. It's like, don't go crazy now. Just stay focused and keep doing what you're doing, because you're doing fantastic stuff.
Don't get the ego.
It puts a lot of weight on us, you know, to keep our heads down and just stay focused, because now the magnifying glass has been placed on us, so we're gonna have all eyes on what we're doing, every move we make. So it's really good for us to grow and really progress and realize, you know, we're young, so stay focused and let's keep pushing harder.
And sometimes you need that kick in the ass.
Absolutely.
And say, okay, so here's bar. Even if you're under the bar or above the bar, in this business, you've got to be motivated. You've got to be pushing. You have to be ready to change. You've got to be constantly learning.
Absolutely. Talk to me in 30
years.
I said 30 years. Ask me. I mean, there's still so much to learn. I mean, no matter any corner you turn, there's the learning and the education never learns in this industry.
It makes me excited for the future too.
I know, me too.
What he's doing now.
Yeah.
It's just
absolutely.
Well, who else out there do you see that's got the same kind of gusto this young guy?
Well, it was just funny that you mentioned that. You talked about how, you know, you're always learning. It's like, that sounds a lot like fellow Kevin Binkley, who I believe you
spent a little time.
No, it's absolutely true. This is, I mean, you talk about learning from the right people. I mean, here's a guy who and, you know, of course anybody can spout platitudes, but this is someone who really means it. You know, it's like, you know, he talks about how he just wants to never, ever, ever stop learning. It's like, you know, and he talks about how, you know, I'm never going to be perfect, but I always want to try to get as close as I possibly can.
Excellent.
Yeah. And it's that, and you know, that someone can, you know, can be, you know, deep into his career and still thinking in that frame of mind, to the extent that now he's actually, you know, going to be shutting down restaurants to
focus
himself.
Phenomenal.
I think it's amazing.
I think it's just a lot of sense, you know, and it's just like, I mean, he's so into his art.
Yeah.
It's like, I got lost in the making money process.
Yeah.
The business process, which running a restaurant from a business perspective sucks. You know, it's hard. It's a lot of crunching numbers and, you know, meeting vendors and getting sold and upsold and sold some more.
Well, and some people, that's,
and HR.
That's their thing. I mean,
some people, you got it.
But that's not who Kevin Binkley.
No, I think it's phenomenal. I mean, when I first read it, my first thought was, yay.
Yeah.
Good for you.
I think he's doing exactly what he needs to do. And I hope that...
I hope he finally gets the national recognition that...
I do. I hope he achieves what he wants to achieve, and I hope that I hope he hits it out of the park, and I hope it, you know, because he's somebody who's obviously able to.
But then
really,
it all
really
benefits Arizona and Phoenix and our area too.
Yeah.
He's a mentor. I mean, I can assume that you learned so much from that guy.
I absolutely.
You started 17 years old at Binkley's. You were still at EBIT, right?
Yeah. I just finished up with about 2 months after that. I'd gone down just to do a little visit, say hi to my chef Mike down there.
Mm-hmm.
He's like, Binkley's is hiring. They just contacted us. If you want to go up there, I was living in East Gilbert.
East Gilbert?
Yes, absolutely. So I drove 4 or 10 minutes to an interview, and that was kind of where it all started.
That wasn't your commute when you were getting started.
What's that?
Was that your commute?
Yeah, I was driving over an hour for at least a year.
Wow.
Yep.
That's even more impressive.
Did you have a gas conscious car, I hope?
Or? I had a 2000 Chevy Cavalier that I thought was going to break down every time I pulled out of my driveway.
At least it wasn't a bicycle. I mean, because then that would have just been way.
Well, and that's the beauty. I mean, my Garmage cook right now, actually, he lives down off Chandler Boulevard in the 60, and he's got a bike. He rides his bike here on a regular basis. We'll give him rides home every now and then. And it's the same mindset, though. It's, what is the small sacrifice that I can make right now that's going to elevate and help me push forward and make me better in my dreams and my pursuit of where I'm going.
That's a quote.
So I didn't actually think about that one ahead of time. So
isn't that fun?
It's good.
I like pulling things out of my head. It's like, no, hey, this is cool.
Well, and it really shows his heart and it does. His philosophy.
It does.
And that's the big thing between my guys right now. I mean, they made a big sacrifice to come work with a 23-year-old who just took over a restaurant. And it's one of those things you want to shy away from working with friends because you kind of run into some errors. Fortunately enough, we have kind of that well-balanced relationship where they understand we're all on the same page and we're all on the same page with our heart and our passion where we want to go. And meeting up and going to the farmers markets every week together just so we can be inspired and get together and talk about things on a regular basis. This is a lifestyle. This isn't a I clock in, I clock out. This is a 24/7 job.
Well, and I think I was just sitting here looking at this. I mean, how often? I mean, and it fills my heart doing what I'm doing. How often do you get to sit down and just talk with people in your business? Because you're so busy. You know, you're moving all the time. You know, sit down actually with your team and be able to just discuss all of this stuff.
Not just discussing, but I mean, eating too is the other thing. I think. I mean, I think it's so easy just to get, you know. I mean, you need to be lost in your own stuff, but at the same time, you also need to be, you know, educating yourself by going out and trying what other people are doing. And I think that's just got to be immensely difficult when what you're doing takes up so much of your time.
Well, yeah, and look at. I mean, I interviewed Jared Porter and Nick Capizzano from Club Koi. They went from Italian food to every Asian cuisine that you can possibly imagine. They went on R&D trips all over the United States, San Francisco, New York, Seattle.
That's what's so incredible about our industry. I mean, if you put in the time, you can do it. If you do the research, you can do whatever you like.
Okay, yeah, you can. Yeah, of course you can. Of course you
can. No boundaries.
No boundaries at all. Okay, so we are going to take a quick little break here, and we will come back, and we are going to have our weekly Wet Your Whistle, which is the Philly Fish House Punch. Did I say that right?
Yes, you did.
Okay, and Tommy, the guy that made it for us this morning, I can't remember exactly what he does.
He's our fill-in bartender.
He's our fill-in bartender for the morning.
Official title?
Is that it? Fill-in bartender, FIB? And so we'll come back and have that from him, and we'll talk some more with you guys, and thanks for being here. It's going to be so fun. We got some more time to go yet, even. Perfect. You ready?
All right. Very, very, very looking forward to it, right?
Okay, and remember, you can find all sorts of fun stuff at IntoTheSoup.com. Woohoo! We'll be right back.
Are you considering attending culinary school? Arizona Culinary Institute is now enrolling for 2016. Conveniently located in Scottsdale, Arizona, ACI is a dynamic, hands-on, fast-paced program that gets you industry-ready in 6 months. It's free to apply. Visit them online at azculinary.edu or 480-603-1066 to schedule a tour. If you've got what it takes, they've got what you need. Arizona Culinary Institute, where passion becomes profession.
Welcome back to Into the Soup. I'm your host, Heidi Lee. Everybody's up getting into it and laughing. I love it. It's time for the weekly Wet Your Whistle. We'd like to tip our hats to Local First Arizona. Shift 10% of your spending to a locally owned business and support our community and our economy. Our weekly wet is from Second Story Liquor Bar and Tommy?
Tommy Plato.
Hi, Tommy Plato?
Uh-huh.
Wow. That just changed my whole perspective. You made us a Philly Fish House Punch. I want to go with this as the weekly wet because it's too freaking hot in March, but it's already a summer drink, and it's, I'm almost done with mine. So
yeah, it's a
like
perfect
to,
drink. It's kind of like a spiked Arnold Palmer. But
spiked Arnold Palmer, nice.
It's the oldest cocktail in America.
Really?
Yeah.
Did it come from Philadelphia?
It did.
I can put my Valley Girl on anytime.
It was, you know, came around during American colonization, and what's interesting about it is that they made the drink because the water didn't taste as good as it does now.
I'm sure that it didn't.
And so they had the fresh lemons, they had black tea from England, they had brandy from France, and they had rum from the Caribbean. And so this is the drink that they created, and it's really good, but you got to watch out for them because I know you guys had a good
It's kind of a creeper drink.
So you guys will probably end up
is
having...
Is he going to give me the munchies? Too, or
you don't use that stuff. It's more of a Colorado.
Yeah, Peyton.
Right. So
what's in it? So tell us how you made it.
Well, it's actually a drink that you pre-batch. It gets better over time. So, you know, you brew the fresh tea, you squeeze the lemons, you take the peach brandy, actually, and then the rum. And so you kind of let it sit for a couple days.
Oh, and great.
It all fuses together. And then you just top it off. After you have your batch, you top it off with a little soda water.
Sweet. Well, we have the recipe on Into the Soup.
Duh.
Oh, you were so close. One more time. Into the Soup.
Duh.
Awesome. And we'll have a picture as well. So, yes, lovely. Thank you very much. We appreciate that. And we're going to get back to the bowls. Have a great day, Tommy. All right. We love bringing those breakaway bartenders in. It's just like, what did you say?
In honor.
Plato.
Since we had a photo shoot.
I love the fact that you knew so much. I'm in my pajamas. You knew so much about that. That makes me very happy. Okay, Christina Barueta is here with me from Right on Ruby.
Hello.
In case you just joined us. And Dominic Armato from Arizona Republic. And Nick Resticus, chef of Second Story Liquor Bar. Tommy's whispering in his ear. Hi.
I'm not going to tell you what he said.
Okay. Thank you. So with all the restaurants and everything that you've gone to critique, whatever, have you ever done a review of the Scum Bar?
I would frequent.
And I want to be voodoo lady. I went to Googling.
No,
and
there's
you have an IMDb page on there. Make sure you like what's up here.
I'm wondering what you're talking about.
I have no idea.
Go ahead. Wait a minute. What is it? It's Guybrush.
Guybrush 3-foot.
I
had a previous life I did voiceover for most of my life up until then.
That is
very impressive. I'm actually going to start plating some food, and I'm going to have you voiceover for my food's going to talk. Dominic voiceover.
I like this. No, but this is funny too, because there was once or twice where, you know, someone had something, you know, well, how would you like it if your work was criticized? I was like, that's what I did for the first 20 years that I was working. I did a lot of voiceover.
And they were Lucas games, right?
Yeah, I did a lot of LucasArts games in the late 90s, and I was lucky enough to be cast as the lead character for the series of Monkey Island games.
I was hoping you were going to wear your poet shirt today.
I'm still sort of in my devoured coma. So I'm,
oh, that's
like,
right.
Not quite, that's going to fire on all cylinders.
Yeah, that'll be a week.
So I'm just coming back to life.
Repose somewhere.
I can get you a couple
of
cocktails. May help you out.
Yeah, I don't. That could just send me over the edge.
I don't even know how you got it. So are you originally from Chicago?
I'm originally from Chicago, yeah.
I lived in Chicago for a couple of years.
That's fine.
In Evanston.
There you go.
Yeah, right on the corner of Sheridan and Lakeshore Drive.
I know it was
like the second ugliest apartment building in the city that looked across the street to the first ugliest apartment building in the city.
Well, I'm glad to hear that you have the ugly corner of Evanston locked down in your street.
You know what? The thing about it was only a block to the beach.
Well, you can't go wrong there.
No, right? I love Chicago.
I only use it
so much
fun.
Those were my corporate years.
Oh, yeah, there you go.
As a paralegal. Yay. So how did you get roundabout to this? So did you go to journalism school? Did you go to...
I
just became this amazing, you know, prolific writer. I can write 128 dishes in 3 hours you wrote.
I'm one of the... See, this is it, exactly. I'm one of the unwashed masses of the internet. So it's, you know, it's like, I walk into the, you know, I walked into the news floor for the first time, and it's like, I'm looking at everybody and saying, like, hey, those bloggers just make your life just one of the best.
I should interject that Don has won an award on Sabor magazine for his...
I was nominated. I did not win. It's just a hobby. I mean, I was doing the voiceover and just as a hobby. I was really into food and doing a lot of traveling, and I just got to the point where I was tired.
Did you get the bug?
Oh, yeah, totally. It was just a hobby. I mean, it started as a personal journal, actually, that I was keeping just because I was forgetting stuff that I didn't want to forget, so I started keeping the journal. And the woman who's now my wife said, you know, my parents would love to read about this too. She's like, why don't you put it on a blog? I was like, all right, sure, why not? So, you know, I started blogging, and, you know, 10 years later, I was still doing it. And actually, the first professional gig that I did here in Phoenix was for Phoenix Magazine. I freelanced for them for a little while, and Kate Boothier over there was kind enough to give me a shot there. I just dropped him a line. I was like, hey, you're looking for writers? He's actually, as a matter of fact, I am. So
So, you know, I mean, I did that for about 6 months, and then this popped up. So this was never really, like I said, this was never really part of the plan.
Yeah.
No, I mean, it was never something I was considering as a career. I mean, my motivation even to get started with Phoenix Magazine wasn't because, oh, I want to be a food writer. My whole thing was just that, you know, I was obsessed with the food scene and wanted to help get the word out about good places.
Yeah.
And
I got that, Bill.
I had a couple of blogs, and I started PhoenixFoodNerds.com to try to get people talking and try to get the word out there. But, you know, when you're in those circles, it's like you're only going to have so much impact, and you can only move the needle so much just because of the size of the audience. So,
right.
So I was getting a little frustrated with that. It's like, yeah, I want to try to get the word out some more. So
the broader reach, broader appeal.
For me, it was just trying to find a bigger megaphone to be my obsession, and then you know, next thing I know, all of a sudden I've got these megaphones in the city now. So
well, congratulations.
Well, thank you. No, it's still cool. It's still an adjustment. It's a little weird now because it's like, you know.
But you've been very well received.
It seems to be going well.
I have the ear of lots of folks out there, and they dig you.
I hope so. I'm just trying to be worthy of it because it's a big deal.
It's a big deal.
You know, you can be a little more. In some ways, you can be a little more. It's your little corner blog of the internet. It's like, you know, you can be a little crazy and say some stuff, and you know, whatever. The worst case scenario is write something crazy and other people read it. That's the end of it. But it's like, you know, when you're writing for the biggest paper in the state, it's like, I need to be a little careful about what I say and make sure that,
here's the stage. What do you,
and that's
talk in.
Well, and that's where I was going to let Dominic finish first.
Well,
but
yeah,
that's where it's, you know, he's still new to the position, and it was very unexpected for me to actually come back up here because I helped the restaurant open up back at day one. I was here for 9 months, and then I broke off. You know, I was going to do something else, and I would have never worked. I never had a thought in my mind I would end up here again, you know?
Right.
But one afternoon, I get a call from Tommy, and we just started talking, and that's where it started. And as soon as I heard that Dominic was here, it's one of those things where it puts a lot of pressure on us at the same time because it's making a big statement for him being new to his position and still kind of people making a transition from a very classic kind of dining critic going into the new way.
The new era.
And yeah. He's going to come out and he's going to put this review out about a couple kids who people are very hesitant about already as to, well, should they be doing that? So it really puts a lot of weight on us to carry our part and make sure we're still pushing forward that we don't to say embarrass what the kind words that Dominic put out there for us.
Absolutely. I appreciate
it. Pushes, of course. Absolutely.
No, there's that fear every time I write something really
exactly.
Great about a place.
Exactly. And that's why it makes it even harder for us because we need to push harder, and it's very exciting the way for that extra drive behind us. It's a pretty incredible thing, and to have that little kick in the butt there, it's awesome, you know.
I think that's a heck of a lot of respect for you, Dominic. For this young man and for himself too, and your owners. Yeah.
Absolutely.
But the thing is, we're doing, you know, about service, it's like, look, I'm just eating this stuff and writing about it. I mean, that's the thing too. You know, if I write something nice, I would be like, oh, thank you so much for writing. It's like, look, you're making the food, you know, you're the ones who are in the kitchen and doing the work and putting in the hours, and it's like I just get to breeze in and eat it and go write something nice about it, you know. But this
or
is,
not.
You know, or not. But the point is, you know, they're you know, which not to say that being a dining critic isn't more work than most people think it is, but still, you know, I'm just writing about this, and I'm putting it out there. You know, it's not about if it starts to become about me, that's a problem.
Right.
You know, I mean,
but it's your palate.
I'm okay with
a lot of subjectivity involved.
I'm okay with it being about me to the point that, you know, okay, yes, you want to try to establish a level of trust where people, you know, have faith in what you say, and I also want to try to help people get excited. And to the extent that I can be myself to help people get excited about good stuff, that's great. But if it starts to cross over a line to where, you know, if it becomes about me, then it's a problem because it's not about me. It's about the food and it's about the people who are devoting their lives to creating this food and to helping further the Phoenix food scene. And that, you know, that to me is what's important. And if I ever lose that at the core of what I'm doing, then that's a big problem.
I've known Dominic since he moved here, and that's always been his core.
Right.
You know, he sent me messages at 2 a.m. We're usually up, and I have this great idea. I'm going to do this one. What do you think? And his whole intent from day one has always been to, how can we support these people? This little mom and pop needs business. This place would be, you know, a terrible thing if they closed. And he's always been like that from day one.
And those are the hardest ones to find. I mean, I can reach out to the big boys and girls here in this industry and bring them on the show. It's finding the ones that are struggling and that have a great product and great service and what, you know, what, you know, they're second generation Italian or whatever it might be.
Yeah.
And get them to be able to be here with me.
There's so much. And in some
ways, it's so hard to find, you know.
In some ways, that's one of the things that has been, you know, I mean, as I'm adjusting to the new position too, that I'm still trying to feel out. It's frustrating at times because, you know, it used to be very easy to say that, hey, you know, the little mom and pop joints, that's my thing. That's really what I want to cover. You know, I don't have that luxury. You know, I mean, I have broader responsibilities. I mean, I can cover them too, but that's only a part of what I can do. I have to pay more attention to everything that's going on. Be wary of, you know, trying to cover as much geographical area as possible.
Right.
And cover the high end and the low end and all that, and I'm happy doing all that, but it's you know, it's tricky sometimes, you know, trying to find that balance, and trying to, you know, get the word out about as much of the good stuff as I possibly can. So you know, I'm stumbling my way through it. So, you know,
well, I'm not quite right your answer very eloquently. So yeah, I mean, it's, you know, you really, that's the goal of us too, supporting culinary arts so dining doesn't go the way of Walmart. I live on the west side, so do you. Christina, and it's like, what am I going to find? I mean, in Arizona, Grill is actually very good.
It's finding the little jewels, you know. And
absolutely.
Yeah, I've talked to Dominic about this. My husband's Mexican, speaks fluent Spanish, and I've always wanted to just travel through and hit every little door next door. And at least I found a place with a trompo.
Yes, yeah. I know. And
you said this is
exactly it. Well, another one on the list.
I was super excited about a trompo. Yeah. I actually was like,
Mel was, because you said it when we were out with Mel Messinas a couple of weeks ago, too.
I'm referring to the instrument they cook a really authentic al pastor taco on.
Right.
Yes.
And what I love, though, is that you mentioned when you were having people meet you, Fa'avina.
Yeah.
That's in my head. I love that joint.
Yeah, and that was created. I had to Christina, because she was like, you tipped me off of that place.
Yeah, I love it.
Yeah. I'm like,
yeah. He went in the other day.
I'm happy that he liked it. You know, but sometimes I'll say, oh, you've got to try this spot, and I'm almost like the chef. Oh, will he agree? Will he like it as much as I do?
Oh, my God.
we can disagree. Yeah, it's okay.
You know how you go into those places, especially things that are kind of foreign, like Asian food, Thai, Vietnamese, and you find your favorite, and you just kind of go, well, I'm going to go have my pho.
Yeah.
Well, the other day, my daughter and I went, and they started doing lunch specials, and they had sriracha chicken. It was unbelievable.
At Fa'avina?
At Fa'Avina.
I saw that on the menu.
I totally went out of the comfort zone. It was deep fried
chicken.
They
don't have that beef salad that you turned me on.
I believe. My understanding, I believe, last I heard, it's a different branch of the family took over the restaurant, because I believe Avina was... She
named
was going
after
to,
the daughter.
I want to say... Yeah, I don't
know. Well, she's the one that did the expansion, though. Because they were only half that big.
Yeah, originally.
Yeah, until about a year and a half.
They were in a different location at one point, too.
I don't know about that, because I just started going to the one on Thunderbird.
But I believe she went to, I want to say, medical school?
I don't know. She was the business brains behind
like
that group.
So I know it's under, I know there's a different branch.
Have you ever been there?
I have not, no.
Do you have a favorite pho place?
I don't... We have a go-to pho place on a regular basis. There's a Noodles Ranch right down the road, Scottsdale and Thomas, just because it's close, it's very convenient. We order pho probably three times a week for dinner. You can't go wrong. I can eat it and still be able to function afterwards.
See, that's the only reason I never order pho. I like bun sao. That's my favorite.
I just like soup.
But my mom makes a Vietnamese soup. That's her dish.
Where would you guide me to go?
Well, I really like Fa'avina, but
her
I didn't know the menu. The bun sao was still very good.
Yeah, okay.
But I was a little... The menu's very different.
Yeah, and there are a lot of good pho joints.
There's more
West Valley and then some East Valley. It's where you get in the middle.
Maybe we should all go and do a raw honest trip.
Absolutely. The other thing is, when you talk about how, like, you know, the scene is changing here, you know, I think places like Photon, right? I'm probably butchering the pronunciation. It's terrible. But, you know, there's a place who, you know, when I first got here, you know, 2010, you know, the place was maybe a third full at most of the time. And now they've expanded. One thing. expanded twice. The place is packed with people, you know, an incredibly diverse crowd. You know, they got lines at lunchtime. So on one hand, it's like I get super, super excited. And then on the other hand, it's like you look in and everybody's ordering well. And it's like, guys, there's a whole menu here full of stuff. You gotta try. So it's sort of like, it's like, and maybe it's my fault that I'm never satisfied, but it's like, if you see, it's like it's a big step. So, all right, guys, great. Okay, now we're packing the good fudge.
We're slowly opening up the door.
Exactly. It's like now
we can break through the barrier and
function to. It's like the gateway of the Vietnamese food. You know?
Absolutely.
So now we got to start. Like now, kick it up to the 200 level course. You know, so that's one of the things that you know that I want to do too. It's like I want to try to write about. Okay, that's great. Oh, fantastic. Now I can write about 24 fudge joints or let's take a menu at one great place and here's like 10 dishes that maybe you've never tried. You've looked at them, you've glanced at them, and you thought,
but isn't that your role too?
Exactly. Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
Open up everybody's eyes, because that's what we really have to do, especially, and I've told Christina this, I rely on the Christinas of the world and the Taryn Jeffries and the Jenna Simons, because I can't do a website and a radio show.
Right.
It's not possible. So you guys are my go-tos.
Yeah.
It's like, here's what's coming up, here's what's happening. I mean, you introduced me to Nick.
Right.
And you're invaluable. Invaluable.
Woo-hoo! Doc's invaluable.
No, you are
too.
So are you. I mean,
oh,
Google,
I love
you. Oh, I love you too. I don't have time for all of that. I used to, but it's just like, you know, when I have three jobs. So.
And all three of you are very invaluable to what we're doing right now, you know? We're very unknown. I mean, we're just a little gem sitting up on the second story here in Old Town. On a regular basis, I would say weekends we'll have 20 guests walk upstairs and be like, oh, you guys serve food. I didn't know you guys serve food.
Oh, really?
Yeah, on a regular basis. Absolutely. So it's exciting. I mean, you guys have opened the door for people to actually...
Well, it's kind of nice because both Dom and I being transplants from cities known for great food. I'm from the Boston area.
Yeah.
I am so excited and thrilled with what's happening in Phoenix. And we both have the same mission. We're all about supporting you guys.
Absolutely. Well, and the change that has happened in just the last 5 years is just, it's unbelievable. It's become a gastronomical.
There's been so many cool things happening
fantastic.
In the past year as well. Yeah, the seven chefs. I mean, that's doing a lot of incredible things for our food scene here, and just kind of opening people's eyes. Oh, Phoenix has a good food scene. We really get lost in with Houston or Austin or LA or San Francisco. We're just kind of this little pocket in the desert.
But what so many people don't understand is that the community of chefs here is so tight. And the great example is there's enough to go around. We are a dining destination, but we are tourist central.
Yeah.
And they help each other all the time. These guys, those seven and eight, including Jake and Patino, we didn't all know each other as friends.
Yeah.
Bernie brought them together to do his pig out. And they realized that they had this amazing synergy and synchronicity because they're all so different. And they're like, hey, let's band together.
That's what food can do.
I
mean, the unofficial events I was doing before coming back to the second story here, that was the biggest turn on to those events was the fact that you have 10 guests around the table, and it's an experience. We can all sit down and we can talk, and food just brings everyone together. It's 10 different guests. Nobody comes into that space knowing anything about each other.
Yeah,
we have a cashier sitting next to a CEO of a multi-million-dollar company, just hitting it off right off the bat over a nice glass of wine and a bowl of pasta. It doesn't take anything more than that.
Better than
it
that,
really doesn't. It's very
really.
Simple.
It's a lesser thing. We don't know what that means, right? But not mustard. All right, we're going to take a quick break, and we're going to come back with our soup of the week, which is from you, Chef Nick. And this is fantastic. It's amazing how quick it goes. So thank you all very much. This is Heidi Lee. You're into the soup. We'll be right back. Hang in there.
My dad came to live with us last month, and you know, it's going pretty well.
I feel like I never have time for myself.
With him being around more, it really lets us catch up on things.
His memory isn't what it used to be.
We get up and we have coffee.
He usually wakes up at 4:30.
Then we go for a walk.
He needs lots of my attention.
I do need to keep an eye on his medications, though. That's important.
Sometimes I feel like a pharmacist.
I'd say John and the kids are adjusting pretty well.
They honestly have no idea what I'm going through.
It can be a little challenging.
Help.
But so far, so good.
I could really use just a little help.
For those dealing with the daily struggles of caring for a loved one, we hear you. That's why AARP created a community with experts and other caregivers for advice, tips, and support. Together, let's help each other better care for ourselves and the ones we love. Visit aarp.org/caregiving. A public service announcement brought to you by AARP and the Ad Council.
Heidi Lee, you're into this soup. I'm so having so much fun. We're going to go to our soup of the week, which is brought to you by Arizona Culinary Institute, where passion becomes profession. ACI is now enrolling for all programs. The next start date for day classes is April 4th, and every 6 weeks after that, the next night classes start April 11th. It's free to apply, so visit azculinary.edu or call 480-603-1066. If you have what it takes, they've got what you need. Arizona Culinary Institute. So we got some things coming up. Actually, ACI is doing a wine dinner on March 16th. I believe that we are sold out, but you can always give them a call and see if there are tickets left. $55. Our chefs and students work with our sommelier, come up with a beautiful four-pairing menu for you. That sounded good. The next one is Dining Under the Stars with Tony Parrot. He lives out in Buckeye, and this guy has a dream, and I'm very happy to support him. So it's you can go to, ready, Into the Soup. For information about all of these events, his dinner is on the 19th, which is a Saturday of March, and he's got beef supplied by Stage Line Ranch. The beer is coming from the Scottsdale Beer Company. The vegetables and produce are all coming from his beautiful garden, and the chefs and students at ACI will be preparing the meal. So if you want to get in touch with it, check out the site, and we would love to see you there. He's a lovely person, and we're just very happy to help him. It's kind of like one of those Green Acres things where everybody just comes and supports your local farmer. That's awesome. For help. Yeah. And he's like a little mad scientist with this, you know, 7.5-acre petri dish that he comes with, and he's just a great guy. So our soup of the week is brought to us by Chef Nick of Second Story Liquor Bar. Tell me about it, because I'm just going to drink it.
Well, that's why I put it in a coffee mug. So I'm just sitting here trying to use a spoon.
Oh,
just
thank you.
Throw
so
a sandwich in there and just kind of drink it. I can puree the. I mean, we could do a puree grilled cheese.
When we were here in the morning, you're like, "Did you want me to like to finish up pureeing the soup for you?" And I'm like, "Hell yeah!" So, and Betty's back there. I hear the vibe. Anyway, what is it? Because it's really
so. Very simple. Brown butter celery root soup. We've got some leeks, onions, celery, just a splash of cream, and some brown butter. Just sweat it all out, cook it, a little veg stock, puree it, season it, a little salt, red wine, vinegar. The recipe will be up on the website.
Which website would that be?
IntoTheSoup.com. So what I want to do with the soup for you guys is, for our food, the inspiration really comes from what's very comfortable. Like comfortable classic pairings, essentially. But we like to spice it up with our presentation, obviously. We're just having fun. We're just pouring our hearts out, you know, just putting a little artistic flair, having some fun, keeping ourselves invigorated. Sometimes people think it comes off a little pretentious. That's just us having fun and enjoying what we do because we really care.
Who sounds pretentious?
Yeah, I don't agree with any.
I have no specific no names. So, but on the side, we just a little brioche, sharp cheddar grilled cheese. Simple pairings that put a smile on your face. Like, something you can make at home in less than an hour, and it's filling. With a celery root, it's just you're wearing it a little bit. It's nice. Not a bad mess. Not in that way. Okay.
Wearing everything.
Oh, Gary, you need a cake.
I need to run 4 or 5 days.
Well, you're gonna have to walk down the stairs. Unfortunately, I don't have an elevator.
I have already demolished my soup and grill.
You did a good job.
I had not touched food since about the same time yesterday. So
that's good. Pacing ourselves.
Do you have like full reign and you can just basically create whatever you want as long as
the menu is
in your budget?
Open to myself, and of course, I wouldn't do the menu without my team. We'll sit down a couple nights after service, every few months, or every 4 to 6 weeks is what we've been changing it. We'll all sit down and, guys, what's exciting? What's exciting to you right now? What do you want to bring on? What are some flavor combinations? combinations? What are some spring ingredients? What are some proteins that have been brought in by some
or of what's our a technique? Providers?
Or what's a cool technique?
Yeah.
That's really where the foundation of our menus come from. And with that, actually, last week we took over the wine list as well. We completely revamped. We've done all the tastings. It's a completely pieced together wine list.
How much experience do you have tasting wine?
I'm very, very inexperienced. Ian, one of my guys in the back, he's running a wine bar up in Denver for the past year before he jumped back on. So he's a little bit more knowledgeable than that, I would say. But it's another opportunity for us to learn and for us to grow. I'm not saying I'm a somm.
I think it's actually, for me, that's a good thing because he's learning wine while he's
absolutely.
Here
it's the same thing with the whiskey up here. I'll sit down with John.
Just better education than most people.
It's interesting. Yeah.
So we'll taste a bunch of wines. I mean, I think we went through 125 wines last week that we tasted spread out over the week. But it's a matter of all right, I mean, these were between 11 and 12 in the morning, so we were starting our day on the right note.
You were spitting.
Yes, we were. You have to. That got a little out of control there.
Yeah.
But no, it's cool because it really opens us and allows us to pair with the food and pair appropriate wines. So it's fun. It's just another learning curve for us to kind of tackle and take on.
Interesting about restaurants like yours is that hopefully you're doing this, and I think that you probably are. So if you come here and you are a server, you're actually being educated.
Absolutely.
And you don't say, here, slap some food on the plate and take it out. And a lot of people do. I had a server the other day where we didn't know anything. And I'm like, wow, okay, well.
None of my girls up here right now, they don't have a culinary background. I mean, one of my servers was serving pizzas downstairs for 2 years before she came up here. But these girls know more than food than they've just soaked it up.
I love your servers. They look like they came out of a Robert Palmer video. They really do.
It really fits the vibe up here
it
very
does.
Well. It allows them to wear their personality.
It's hot. You're just like, wow. You walk in the door and it's just like, turn on.
It's an experience.
I mean, what's that one you like?
It's an experience up here, which is pretty incredible. I'm not saying a lot of guys don't get you, or a lot of ladies and wives don't aren't too happy with our service sometimes just because of the uniforms. But
but like you said, they're knowledgeable. I mean,
absolutely
professional.
Absolutely, all they want to do is grow. All they want to do is grow.
Yeah, so. I mean, and they wear high heels.
They're walking around.
That's unusual.
We open at 4 and we're open till midnight, Fridays and Saturdays. So they're in heels the entire time. They've got a smile on their face to that last table at 11:55. You wanna sit around till 1, they're gonna be here and they're gonna smile.
That's great. Yeah, and so it's really cool because you give, just like you got a platform with Kevin Beasley. You know, if you work with people, whatever position you might have in this industry, you can take it and transfer it.
Absolutely.
And learn more and grow. And it doesn't mean you're just a server. I love being a server. I think that's a blast. You get to interact with people, and you learn about the menu, you taste new things,
life lessons that you can carry over to your everyday and grow from.
Yeah.
As well.
Yeah. It's really exciting. I'm very happy for you.
Well, thank you so much.
Were you a serious kid when you were little?
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely. I was raised training year-round for sports, so I was always kind of in the, all right, I get out of school, I'm going to go train for a while, and then I have a game these days. So I grew up playing many different sports and just kind of with the go, go, go.
And you're from Midwest, right?
I'm from Michigan, yeah.
You're from Michigan.
You don't do this kind of food at 23 years old.
No, you don't. Exactly, that's why I asked the question.
I mean, what we're doing, we haven't even scratched the surface of what we're going to learn in the next year. We're so appreciative to everyone that's kind of really jumping on board and supporting us for what we're doing, because this is an incredible learning experience for us. I mean, we're not coming out and saying we're the best in town. We're just trying to learn and grow and do what we do. There are no boundaries up here. With my guys, I give them a lot of freedom, and it's super cool to watch them grow and see what
What's the biggest lesson you've learned in being a boss at such a young age? In charge.
I really want to try and be a nice guy all the time, but there's sometimes you really got to put your foot down.
It's really hard to be a dick.
It's difficult because I'm really bad at taking it. I take it personally sometimes, if they get upset with me. But it's like, guys, we're striving for perfection. That's all it really is. And everyone is slowly getting on board with that, so it makes the transition easier, so I don't have to really be too much of a mean person.
Right.
Which it's awesome. I don't, there shouldn't be a bad vibe. I don't have to be back there yelling at everyone to put out great food. We just need to put our heads down and all be on the same page and be excited about what we're doing.
Yeah, I think that's definitely. How much time do we have left, Brandy?
It's 9:25.
We have 9 minutes left?
All right. It's at 9 minutes and 25 seconds.
I mean, you talked about, you know, you mentioned you got the chicken that was real cheesy. And something that I'm curious about, some of the things that I noticed in your food is you got, like, the, you know, it's very elevated. It's very refined. There's a lot of technique going on. Everything's done with a lot of precision. But, you know, I feel like at the heart of so many of your dishes are these very, you know, these sorts of flavor combinations that have really broad appeal.
Absolutely.
And I wonder how much of that is intentional, how much of that is just, you know, what doing what you want to do, how much of that is, you know, trying to, or is it giving people
a lot of it is
want, or what,
a know? Lot of it just comes from our palate where we're at right now. We're still growing. I'm not saying we're gonna. The food that we put out in 5 years may be completely different. It probably will be. You know, it's a growing. If it's the same, then we're doing something wrong.
I was mentioning that was more.
But right now, it's,
or it was just that.
Yeah, it's we're trying to break in and kind of create a name for ourselves.
Yeah.
And try and just have people trust and get behind what we're doing. And step one is we can do the basics. You know, we can put together a very well refined but very comfortable approach to a dish that anyone that's going to appeal to anyone. I don't want to only appeal to the 1%, right? That's not how that's not who we are. One day, I would love to have a small 25-seat restaurant that hits the 1%, you know?
Yeah.
Absolutely. But we're just trying to build a foundation for ourselves. We just stepped into an open door 6 months ago, and we're just kind of starting to pave a path.
Yeah.
We're just trying to lay the bricks to where we're gonna end up, essentially. And we all come from very homey backgrounds. I come from walking in the door in Michigan to a crock pot with some venison. You know, it's the simple pleasures.
Right. You know, I mean, I think in some ways I think that's you know, whether intentional or not, I think it's very smart because I mean, I feel like it's a way, it's another way of grabbing people and bringing them in. It makes it easy to get them on board.
Absolutely.
I mean, you know, obviously, you know, I can go out to a restaurant somewhere and love it if they're doing some crazy outlandish stuff, and as long as they're doing it well, of course, you know. But I think it's nice that you've got, you know, it's a way, I think, of grabbing people and bringing them into this style of dining, but while it's still doing it in a manner that is going to be approachable for them.
Absolutely.
I mean, this is a place where you have, you know, you've got some family members or whatever who are not typically eating, you know, highly refined food. You know, they're going to enjoy a meal here.
Absolutely.
You know, even if they're intimidated for a moment just because of the appearance of it, once they dive into it, once it's on the fork, once they're taking a bite, it's like, oh, I get this.
And you don't want to open a door as a young chef like that with foods that are scary.
Yeah.
Because people are going
to
be like,
we're slowly transitioning into kind of trying to push and be a little more innovative with our dishes. The guys back there are capable of doing it.
Innovation,
but it's a matter of taking it slowly. I can't come out the doors just running full blast. You know, we got to take the steps, the proper steps to get where we're at.
And absolutely.
Yeah.
And it's one of those things, I want someone to leave dinner and I want them to go to the grocery store tomorrow morning and not go to the prepared packaged items. Step one, I want them to go to the produce and the fresh meats, you know.
The perimeter of the grocery store.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Next step is I'd love for them to kind of push that aside and go to the farmer's markets. You can go get some beautiful fish, some beautiful produce. You can get it all from the farmer's markets.
Today,
exactly.
A pasta dish, but it's gluten-free with
Absolutely. Kef
and buttermilk.
So what we did this weekend,
date.
It was
I walked around the farmer's market Saturday and then I went to Whole Foods and was looking at just some, I had to pick up some small little things and I saw some teff flour and I saw some buttermilk powder and I was like, let's make gluten-free pasta. So we did fiddleheads.
Exactly.
Fiddlehead ferns are in season, so we can throw those on there. Some miner's lettuce, a little cured egg yolk. It's very.
Your little buttered dates. Those were so nice. That little goose.
Absolutely. Right. All stuff that you can go pick up for the most part from some of the farmers.
Yes, sir. We had people walk in the door today, John.
No, you get
beet salad.
Yeah, that was. So the day that you put out, the day you put out your top 10 dishes to stop serving, we brought it on.
We gotta wrap it up. That's freaking hilarious.
The meat salad. We're swimming against the current right now.
That's all.
There's no goat cheese,
though.
Oh, there's no goat cheese. It was beautiful. It was actually lovely. I love meat. So,
we got to wrap it up here. Christina Barrio, thank you, my friends.
Thank you. I always love being on here. I love what you do, Heidi. You really are all about supporting the scene, and you do it wonderfully.
Thank you. Oh, I appreciate that. That's cool. I just like it. It's just like, I get to do what I want to do. I mean, how cool is that? You guys are doing what you want to do.
Somehow that worked out that way.
It's
not
fantastic.
What's with the fantastic? Yeah, I know. It's pretty incredible.
Nick, thank you so much, Chef.
Thank you.
And, I mean, we're all very proud of you, and I'm extremely impressed. And I haven't seen a young person of your stature in a very long time.
Well, thank you so much. Stay tuned. I mean, we're going to have some cool stuff coming up.
Be a role model for all these kids that are in culinary school that are going, what can I do? This is what you can do.
And that's all I can ask, you know? Just give me a chance, and I just want to help everyone else. That's all it is at the end of the day.
But we all got your back. Dominic Armato, Arizona Republic, thank you so much.
No, thank you for having me. I really appreciate it.
It was a pleasure. Yeah, it was great. We really actually do love what we do. I get to meet interesting, fascinating, creative, artistic people, and it just opens my world every single day, and I couldn't be more grateful for it, and so thank you all for your support as well.
Absolutely.
All right. Next week, we're going to be with Chris Osborne and the Rehab Burger Therapy Boys, Ken and Wiley, so that's going to be an interesting show. We got a lot of stuff coming down the pipe for you. Take care of each other. Take care of yourselves. Say hi to you. You're into the soup. Peace out.